different chapter. Romans, the third chapter. Got a good crew of those little ones that go to children's church. That's always that's good. We know if the Lord tarries, if it's going to be a while before he comes back, we'll still have a church here when we're gone. If we keep these young people involved and keep them coming, it's the reason that we want to involve them so strongly in our service and what we do, and teach them about God. Romans 3, let's look at verses 21 through verse 31. Would you stand with me, please, as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. I'd like to ask someone to go get me a bottle of water if they would. I meant to do that, and if someone will help me out with that, thank you, Joe. He's already on his way. Thanks. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So now this is going to be a major subject of Romans, is the righteousness of God. And if we miss this, we miss the entire point of Romans, the righteousness of God. Because that righteousness of God must be put on our account in order for us to go to heaven, in order to make it so that a lost sinner can be saved. And so here Paul has said that it's uncovered now. He says it's been revealed. Thank you, Joe. That the righteousness of God has been revealed. And so this is going to be something that's going to be very, very important to us as we study the book of Romans. But the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the word of God has already taught us this, is what Paul is saying. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now you want to underline those next two words, unto all. Unto all. And upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a, there's a big old word, propitiation. Now we hardly ever use that, but we're going to be talking about that word just a little bit. He is a propitiation through something, through faith in his blood. Are you getting the picture now? You're getting the picture that it's not by works, it's by faith. It's not something that we do, it's something that he has already done. Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Hang on to that. Through sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, because God has the ability to declare, because God is the only one who is able to declare. He is the judge. He's the final say-so. The buck stops here. He's declared. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law or works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? He is not. Also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Father, I pray that right now you'd open our hearts, our understanding to your word. Lord, I just pray you'd turn your searchlight on, that you would just turn your light on in this word and also in our hearts. God, if there's one here today that does not yet know you as personal Savior, that if there's one person here that does not know where they'd spend eternity at if they died, that today they would accept your word through faith and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, class, what have we learned so far? In these first two chapters, the guilt of humanity before a just and righteous God. All of humanity, every person, is guilty before God. There is not one that is not. Every single person is guilty before God. And it doesn't matter if we have our membership in Osage Baptist Church, or we have it somewhere else, or if we're a Jew, or if we're a Gentile, if we are of some other race, if we are of some other nationality, no matter who we are guilty before God. Secondly, we have learned that man without God follows the natural steps of reprobation. In the first chapter of Romans, the Word of God has given us that. Look with me down at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So it's natural steps of reprobation that as a nation turns from God, it turns toward sodomy. It turns toward ungodliness. It turns toward a people that claim to be able to make it without God. Thirdly, we have learned that God judges according to truth, not according to religion or legalism, self-righteousness. None of those things will gain us favor with God. Number one, the righteousness of God for all who believe. Look again with me at verse 21. And verse 22, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That means that it's been brought to light, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This righteousness of God is that you and I must have in order to go to heaven. We have to have God's righteousness, because the Bible says that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. We do not have any righteousness when we stand before a holy God. Here the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if it's where the glory of God is where I have to be, and I'm down here, something has to stand between me. Something has to take my place. Something has to carry me from this point here to this point here, which is the glory of God. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ's death on the cross. But you see, Christ's death on the cross is of no benefit to me unless it is appropriated, unless I receive it, unless I believe in the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior and commit my life to Him, become a Christian, become a believer. In Philippians 3 and verse 9, the Bible says that this righteousness of God is imputed righteousness. Would you turn to that with me, please? Philippians 3 and verse 9. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Now that's a good place to be. Paul said, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's imputed. It is a credit to my account. When the ledger is open and my account stands before a righteous judge, God the righteous judge, then there has to be this imputed righteousness upon me in order for me to go to heaven. I want us to see in this passage of Scripture today in Romans that God's righteousness is accessible and it is available. In verse 22 of Romans, the third chapter, it says that it is unto, what's that next word? Most people? A select few? What does that say? All. And I did a little word study on the word all. And I found out that the word all literally means all. You guessed it, didn't you? It literally means all. Unto all. Unto all. And so it's available and it is accessible unto all. Not anyone will be able to stand before the judgment seat of God and say, well, I didn't have access to it and it wasn't made available to me. But here the Scripture tells us that the righteousness of God is made available unto all. Verse 22 says that. The Bible tells us that Christ tasted death for every man. Look with me at the book of Hebrews over toward the back of the New Testament, the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I want you to look at verse 9 with me. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but I can tell you what it says to me, that Jesus died in my place, that he tasted death for me. Now, folks, one of these days I'm going to die if Jesus does not come and rapture the church first. I'm going to die. And I'm not really looking forward to that. I think that is something that most folks dread. It's like the little boy says, that it might hurt. And so we dread that. There is some dread in death for us. But I'm going to die, and so are you. But I want you to know that I'm only going to die one time. That the very last breath that I take, when my heart stops beating for the last time, my soul will go to be where Jesus is. My soul will go to heaven. And when the rapture takes place and the dead in Christ rise, the graves are going to open up. And if I do not go first, if the rapture does not take place first, my grave will open up and my body will once again join my soul, my spirit. But I'm only going to die one time. Jesus tasted death for me, so that I would only die once. For those that do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will die twice. They will face a death here on this earth, and then they will be judged by a righteous God to not be able to go to heaven, and they will be cast into a place called hell, where the Bible says the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And they will spend eternity there where the Bible calls it the second death, a place of dying where men are not able to die but ever wanting to die. Titus 2 and verse 11 tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to" what? "To all men." Every man. Every man, boy, girl, every person within the hearing of my voice here today has the need of God's righteousness. In Romans 3 and verse 23, the A part of that verse, the Bible says, "For all have sinned." And I want you to notice that it also says that they've all fallen short of God's glory, of His holy standard. All come short of the glory of God. Look with me over in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Look at verse 48. I'll find it here after a while. Maybe you've already found it. Verse 48. Matthew 5. And it says, "Be ye therefore perfect." Quite a job, wouldn't you say? Any perfect people here today? Anyone here who is perfect? Some guy in the back raised his hand and said, "No, I'm not, but I know one that was." It's my wife's first husband. The truth is, there is no perfect people. And yet here the Bible says, "Be perfect." And I want to tell you, dear friend, that our perfectness, our completeness, has to come through Jesus Christ. Have you figured out yet that you're not perfect? Have you figured out yet that you're not even close? And that you have no righteousness of your own? That you are a sinner and that you fall short of God's glory? And try as we may, it is not good enough. It will not meet the mark. It will not pass go. It will not allow us into heaven. "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And that only comes through Jesus Christ. I want us to look secondly at the redemption price of righteousness according to Romans 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the, what's that next word? Redemption. What do you do when you redeem something? We like to get those, what do you call it, when they send you out to eat and they give you something to buy you, a gift card. But you know, as long as those lie on the dresser, they're of no benefit. Well, you don't have to get us one, worry about lying on the dresser. You know why? Because we're going to redeem it. We're going to redeem it. We're going to take it and eat with it. And we have the best time going through those cards, going to Springfield and trying to decide which place we're going to eat, because people have given us these cards to eat on. I don't know if you know it, your pastor's pretty poor and people have to give him stuff to. The redemption price of righteousness means that He paid the full price. The redemption that is what? It's in good works. It's in church membership. It's in teaching Sunday school. It's in going to camp. It's in cleaning your neighbor's yard. It's in, man, we could just go on and on and on, couldn't we? But now you know what that said that redemption was in. What is it in? It's in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Now, you know, this ought to put us in a shouting position to know that we cannot earn it, that He's earned it for us. It is all totally, absolutely up to Him. Our part is believing. Our part is putting our trust and our faith in Him. I want us to see that it is freely given, being justified freely by His grace. It's dearly purchased. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? I want to tell you something, folks. It is dearly purchased. It is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that salvation may be free today, but it is not cheap. Salvation may be free today to you, but it is not cheap. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price so that you and I could have eternal life. It was purchased by His blood. It is dearly purchased through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I want us to see in this passage that there is satisfaction of righteousness. Look at verse 25 in this passage. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, a substitute for me. A substitute for me. Lanny, you deserve to go to hell. You deserve an eternity in hell. You're a sinner. And you were born. You were shapen, Isaiah said, in iniquity. And when the searchlight of God is turned on in your heart, and in your life, you have sin in your life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Jesus Christ stands up in the courtroom and says, I have taken His place on the cross. He is one of those that is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have paid the ultimate cost in order for Him to go to heaven. And so He's saved by the blood of the Lamb. A propitiation. He has taken my place. Did I read all that verse? Through faith in the blood. To declare His righteousness for the, what's that next word? Remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now, so that I don't leave it out, I want to tell you what this word past means. Anybody hungry yet? Good. You'll be more hungry when this is over. I want to tell you what the past means. You see, in the Old Testament, men were not saved by good works. In the Old Testament, men were not saved by the law, because the Bible teaches us that no one could keep the law. And they weren't saved just because the law was there. They were saved looking forward to the cross. You remember what Job said? I know my Redeemer liveth. Is that good? I know my Redeemer lives. You see, the Old Testament people were saved looking forward to the cross. Now, I take a stand here because people get so mixed up on this side of the cross. You see, folks get it in their mind that all of the sins of our past are covered with the cross. But then after we get saved, something else covers our sin. In light of the scripture, have you ever heard anything more foolish? Folks think that unless they confess their sin, they are not forgiven. You've got to confess it in order to be forgiven. Now, listen to me. I know what the scripture says. It says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean and what does that have to do with? Well, I'll tell you what it has to do with. It has to do with my fellowship with God. Every once in a while, my wife will act out of line. And I will have to forgive her. Do y'all believe that? Or you just spend a few days at my house standing by me? No, it's the other way around. You know it. Lanny gets out of line. Now, if I say in my heart, you're just as wrong as I am, you had just as much to do with that quarrel as I did, and I do not need to ask your forgiveness, if I say that in my heart, what will happen to our fellowship? Our fellowship is damaged. I'm still her husband. I'm going to be there when night comes. I may be mad at all get out, but I'll sit there at the table, Todd, and expect her to lay groceries on the table. You ever do that? I didn't think you did. It affects my fellowship with her. But if I do wrong and I offend her, if I say, forgive me, I was out of line, it corrects our fellowship. That and a Route 44 Diet Cherry Coke always helps. You see, when we sin against God, it doesn't make us not a Christian. It doesn't cause us to lose our salvation. No such thing. Every place in the Bible that it talks about salvation, it's eternal salvation. You can't lose it. There's no way. There's no teaching in the Bible that would back that up. But it breaks my fellowship with God. And so my confessing my sin brings me to a fellowship with God. And by the way, do you know what confession means? Do you know what that means? It means calling a spade a spade. It means when God calls it sin, we call it sin. When God calls it stealing, we call it stealing. When God calls it lying, we call it lying. When God calls it adultery, we call it adultery. Whatever God calls it, we call it that too, and it is present in our lives. And whenever we confess it that way before God and ask for His forgiveness, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And then what's that next word? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't have to do with your salvation. And so when it's talking about sins past here, it's not talking about the sins up to the cross. And then you do something else with the sins up to the cross. I want to tell you, dear friend, that your sin was paid for on the cross. Are you hearing me today? Past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Now, I don't know about you, boy, that makes me feel good. That blesses my heart to know that I'm eternally secure in Jesus Christ. I'm secure in Him, and nothing, are you hearing me, folks? Nothing will pluck me out of His hand. I've heard folks say, well, you can take yourself out of His hand. Well, I'd be crazy. You wouldn't if you was born again. You wouldn't if you was born again. He's a propitiation through faith in His blood. I want us to see finally the declaration of righteousness. Christ's death, you need to hear this today, Christ's death declared God just for not having punished all pre-Calvary sin. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Salvation. If my salvation depended on my ability to confess my sin, then it would be a works salvation. It wouldn't be by grace. It would be a works salvation. It would be something that I'm doing. And that cheapens the blood of Jesus. Anything that I would do that could earn my salvation would cheapen the blood of Jesus. Folks, that cannot be. Does God teach that we live a righteous life? He teaches that we live a righteous life. Does God teach that we're not to sin? He teaches that we're not to sin. He teaches that we're to walk in His steps. But when we do sin, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. What's that next word? The righteous. The righteous. Who takes a stand for us. I want to ask you a very personal question today. Are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you depending on something else for your salvation? You depend on your church membership or your good works or something else? Or are you born again? Is Jesus Christ living in your heart? Because you've put your trust and your faith in Him. You've believed in Him. And you've accepted Him as your Savior. And He's your all and all because of that. Brother Matt, would you come and sing a song of invitation for us? Let's stand together. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior, the very first thing. This is what I... You can be saved anywhere. You can be saved out in the woods, nailed at a stump. I've led men to the Lord sitting on a log. Him pray the sinner's prayer. The place is not the important thing. The important thing is your heart. But this would be a good place for you to get saved. I think you'll get correct instruction here. So if you're not saved, I want to ask you to come today and give your heart and give your life to Jesus. If you are saved and you're not living for the Lord and you know that you need to recommit your heart and your life to Him, rededicate your life to Him, would you come and do that? If you're saved and you haven't yet followed the Lord in believer's baptism, that's a need in your life. Jesus didn't say that was optional. It doesn't save you, but He still didn't say it was optional. He said that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. So He means for you to do that. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision about that today. So as Brother Matt leads us, we invite you to come. Make a decision for Christ today. As we're saying, you come.